Morning, everyone. I'd like to welcome you here, and I would like to call our meeting to order. Thank you for joining us this morning. And would you please stand, and we will start with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. We have all of our members here, so certainly we have a quorum. And on public comment on a special meeting, and of course today is a special meeting. I think of every day is a special meeting when we're here, but every day in Cambria is a special day. But this is a special meeting. And so we don't have then general public comment, but we will have public comment as we go into the only item that's on the agenda today, item 3A. So with that, I would like to introduce item 3A, and we will begin with on this item. The purpose of the item, of course, today is to discuss and consider the responsibilities of the Build-Out Reduction Citizens Committee and appointment of the committee members. And so to introduce this today, I would ask that Mr. Carmel introduce this item.
Thank you, Madam President. Jerome D. Gruber, your general manager, is not available today. He had a prior commitment, so you get me to give the staff report. At your March 24th meeting, you created a Build-Out Reduction Program Citizens Committee. Its primary responsibility will be to evaluate funding sources for the Build-Out Reduction Program. Funding is critical to the program's success. Acquisition of lots and maintenance of lots is an expensive venture, so funding is a real key element of it. As you'll recall, the Build-Out Reduction Program is a mitigation measure that was contained in the Water Master Plan's Environmental Impact Report. It's intended to reduce growth-inducing impacts of a supplemental water project. It's also a supplemental standard for water supply projects in the North Coast Area Plan, so it's very important. And again, this meeting is scheduled so that each of you can nominate someone to serve on that citizens committee. It's recommended that after you all nominate someone, you take formal action, maybe a single action, to approve the nominations. Additionally, it's recommended you discuss and establish any other responsibilities you feel are appropriate for the committee, the timing, perhaps, of their recommendations, who they may collaborate with, and any other issue you feel is relevant or important for the committee. One other issue I'd like to discuss, staff felt it was important to include the County of San Luis Obispo in these discussions on the Build-Out Reduction Program. There's a heavy land use component. So we approached the county planning and building director and asked if he would be considerate enough to lend us a planner for purposes of advising the committee, maybe acting as an ex officio member to the committee. And he was gracious enough to agree to that. So on an as-needed basis, the county will be supplying a planner with North Coast Area Plan experience. So that's a nice benefit that the committee will have. I'll turn it back to you for nominations and be glad to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you. And first, as we begin the procedure, we do not have any request for public comment, so we will move into discussion. And so this, we have several things, I think, that people would like to share their ideas and their thoughts on here with this. And then we can decide to do that following the appointment of the committee, or we can discuss this first and appoint the committee. It's really however you're comfortable today. If you have any ideas on it.
Aye.
Yes.
Madam President, before we get into this, before I come with a nomination, I have some points that I think need to be clarified. And one of which, in the staff report, it says that this group will be subject to the Brown Act. And I have a suggestion that that we do have a public review of a draft. But one of the benefits of hiring a consultant, and I don't want to hire a consultant, but one of the benefits of having someone independent be able to just talk to citizens and they could a group of three or four could get together and come up with a draft of the plan, and then once the draft is complete, then have a public review, and that could be subject to the Brown Act and agendized. But in the meantime, I think it gives all the members of the committee an opportunity to not have the constraints of having a third person walk in a room, or have four or five of them sit down and hash out their ideas. I think it's just much more efficient that way. So that was one of my issues. I'm very happy that one of the planning members are going to come from the county. I think it's critical. We don't have land use authority, and to get the input from them, in a way, we're in a pickle. The pickle we're in is the lots that were approved. Their sizes and depths and widths are really the problem. That we have so many lots that we need to retire, and all of a sudden we're a water district, and we're required to try and solve that problem. So those are my suggestions, and I believe that we can appoint a citizens committee without it being subject to the Brown Act, at least initially.
Are there other responses to that? And actually, Mr. Carmel, would you like to respond to that?
Well, the committee you're appointing is certainly subject to the Brown Act. The Brown Act actually requires any committee that you appoint to be subject to the Brown Act. The only exception is an ad hoc committee that's composed solely of less than a quorum, in this case, two members of the board. That's the only exception to the Brown Act. Whatever committee you appoint, whether they're advisory, permanent, temporary, they're subject to the Brown Act.
Thank you. Okay, well, we needed that clarification, I think, then, right in the beginning.
Could we make our nominations and impanel them just 2 weeks prior to our regular meeting?
Nothing sneaky. No. Okay, well, I'm glad you brought it up, and we have now clarification from Mr. Carmel. I think that's important. Okay, Vice President Thompson.
Yes, as I was mulling over the person that I would like to nominate, it also occurred to me that it might be beneficial to have alternates to this committee, since there are really only going to be five members, whether it be folks going out of town or becoming ill or whatever, it might behoove us to, not at this meeting, but perhaps for the next meeting, provide for some alternates to the members that we appoint. And Mr. Carmel, do you have any thoughts on whether or not that would be appropriate?
I think it would be a good idea. It's always nice to have backups in case someone can't attend.
Okay. I would agree on that, because I think we need to discuss whatever is brought up and decide, do we want to try to incorporate that or include it? So I would have to say, too, I agree that an alternate for each member is always a very important thing. And we could wait until next meeting to do that, because it's only a couple of weeks away. So that do we generally just kind of have consensus on that would be something we want to incorporate into the process?
Well, Madam President, I'm not sure. I am prepared to name an alternate today if necessary, but would everyone have, you know, and all of a sudden you have five members, five alternates here, you know, you have, and the alternates, if I were an alternate, I'd want to attend, you know, it'd just be, I don't know, it's just something to consider. Maybe we can come up with two alternates from the group.
I think in reflecting back, of course, I was on the original Buildout Reduction Committee, and we did have, we had a larger committee at that point, I do recall that, but I think because we have a smaller committee, having an alternate probably, and again, it's up for discussion, for each of the people that are appointed, I think we should clarify that now, if we're thinking one or two, or one for each person. My sense is one for each person, but that's just my sense of it. Director Rice?
The first thing is I think alternates are a good idea, and I think that we have a basic consensus. This is a discussion we should have, but since it's not on this agenda, maybe we can have the president and executive committee make sure it's on the next agenda so that we can do that. And then we can have the discussion and make that decision at that time, and because it's not on this agenda to do the alternates. And I appreciate that, that Director Berenger is prepared for that, but you know, that's one of those, we need to have that discussion. It's not on today's agenda.
So you're thinking have the discussion on having alternates on the 28th?
Yes.
Well,
or did you mean to be able to have the agenda item to appoint?
No, I haven't approached the person that I would ask to be the alternate, so I would not want to make that appointment without speaking to her. But I do think that to her. But I do think that that the agenda, and again, Mr. Carmel could correct me, is generic enough to where we could have a discussion about the efficacy of having alternates. And,
I think it's well within the description to go ahead.
I don't see any reason to put it off, I think.
Today. Well, my sense of it is, do you mean you would want to choose the alternate today?
No, I think we can have the discussion today. I'm not prepared either.
I'm thinking we would, from what I'm hearing, I'm thinking we would come prepared, as we've come prepared today, to appoint the committee. Next time we would come prepared to appoint each of those five positions, we would each again have an alternate. Is that what you're thinking?
I agree.
All right. Director Berenger?
Madam President, rather than having all of this activity postponed for such a long period of time, my suggestion is that we nominate our primaries person, notify ask alternates if they can participate, let them participate until our next meeting, and then officially add them to the agenda. I don't want to wait another 2 weeks for anything.
And I think that's a good idea because, of course, this is a public meeting. Mm-hmm. When they meet, it is a public meeting. Mm-hmm. And it is under the Brown Act, and there will be a chair, and we need to talk about that too. But it would seem that you could, if you had an idea in mind, you could talk to the person if they're agreeable, and we will have undoubtedly at least an original first meeting here just to bring the committee together. They could sit certainly as any other member of the public and listen.
Might I suggest this, that we allow the members of the committee on their first meeting to impanel an alternate as part of their agendized first meeting, and the alternate would be the one that was suggested by directors, by ourselves. Rather than have another meeting to say we're going to have the impanel the alternates, have the actual committee impanel alternates that they choose.
What time did you get up?
Mr. Carmel. I'm just trying to be efficient. That's all.
Mr. Carmel?
That would be an option.
All right. You seem to be ahead
move.
Of us, but but at any rate, then if that is appropriate and within our jurisdiction, and we can do that, then you would like, just say it again, then.
Okay, I move that we recommend we appoint our primary members of the committee and direct our appointees to impanel an alternate that we recommend at their first meeting.
And that can and then they would be official at the after that first meeting.
Correct.
Okay, Mr. Carmel, that seems to be an appropriate motion then?
It's within the scope of what you can do, if that's what you want to do.
All right. How does everyone feel about it? To me, it seems like a very good idea. It seems very strategic, and we don't waste time. Any other comments from anyone? No.
Maybe someone will second that. We can start nominating our nominees.
Maybe he never went to sleep.
I'm sorry?
Maybe he never went to bed last night.
Okay. I'm sorry. I started this, Director Berenger. We'll try to move up back to the agenda. But we are waiting for a second on that. That seems like a good process and timely.
Second motion.
So we have a motion and a second. Do we have further discussion on the motion? Okay, we're on the brink of getting something already started.
I have a question.
You do have a question, yes.
Thank you, President Robinette. The board would still have to essentially ratify those alternates, or no, they would be essentially appointees of, hopefully at our suggestion, the appointee that gets picked by the committee. I'm just trying to figure out if this is something that the board would need to ratify or not.
I don't think you'll need to ratify it. As long as you take the action today that authorizes the appointments by your nominees, mm-hmm. then I think that's satisfactory.
Yes. Yeah. And we do want to make sure we're clear on that, because when then the committee finds their alternate and they have their meeting and they accept that or nominate that person as the alternate, then it is official. Okay. So we're all clear on that. Any further clarification, yep. discussions, ready
Madam,
for the
Madam
question?
Madam President, question.
Yes.
On the Brown Act issue, do the same rules apply to the committee that apply to the board? In other words, can the committee appoint subcommittees that are not subject to the Brown Act if they're ad hoc committees?
No.
No. Okay.
Okay. All right. Any other discussion? Director Rice?
Thank you, President Robinette. Not that this will be needed, because hopefully we'll be able to do this in an expeditious and yet thorough way. But if somebody needs to be replaced on the committee, would that be something that would, like if an alternate needed to be replaced, it seemed like the committee would be able to replace them, but a regular member of the committee would need to be replaced by the board, yes?
Yes.
Right? Yes.
Okay, thank mm-hmm. you for clarification.
Okay. All right, any further discussion on the motion before us? Okay, all right, we're ready then for a roll call on this.
Director Berenger?
Good morning. Aye.
Good morning. Director Sanders?
Yes.
Director Rice?
Yes.
Vice President Thompson?
Aye.
President Robinette?
Yes. Thank you. Okay, unanimous, 5-0. Okay, so I think that was an important part. We're clear on that now. And so do we want to move to the nomination of the actual committee at this time, so we have those things done? Then we can go on and we can have further discussion on the parameters and what we're hoping for and expecting, but we could get them on the committee before we tell them that way.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So just procedurally, President Robinette, are we going to each nominate? I mean, I heard one motion, but I don't know who everybody else is nominating, so I don't even know, wouldn't even know how to begin to make a motion for discussion.
I would think that we would each announce our intended nominee,
okay.
and do it in one motion.
That's what I expected.
All right. Okay. So we can start. Right to left.
I nominate Crosby Swartz.
Vice President Thompson.
Well, that was succinct, but I am going to nominate Mel McCulloch. Mel's a longtime resident of this community. He has a great deal of expertise in land use and property management. Past Citizen of the Year, very active in the American Legion, and he's president of the Cambria Chamber of Commerce. I think Mel would be a really good member of the committee.
Okay, and if it's appropriate, I will take my turn now then, since we're going in order. And I would like to nominate Mark Rochefort, and he certainly, of course, has been very active too, I believe, in the committee, in the community. And has attended many of our meetings, takes a great interest and support in what we're doing, and so I felt that would be very appropriate. Director Rice?
I nominate Allison Groves. Allison has lived in the community off and on for 12 years, and she will be an excellent addition, I believe, to this committee.
Okay, thank you.
Well, I think rounding out an excellent group and diverse enough, I'm nominating Ted Siegler. He has extensive financial experience, was CFO of a major corporation, and certainly involved in the community recently. So that's my son.
All right. That is great. So do we want to do any discussing? We're ready for the motion on this.
I move approval of the five people that were just named by one by each director. Do you want me to name them out through the motion?
I'll second the motion.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded that we nominate those that we have each just shared. Any further discussion? Okay, I think then we are ready, and we'll do a roll call vote again.
Director Rice?
Yes.
Director Barringer?
Aye.
Director Sanders?
Yes.
Vice President Thompson?
Yes.
President Robinette?
Yes. And thank you. I think, is everyone here, I believe?
I think so.
Yes, let's have each of you stand up and... Mel is not here, but why don't we each have our nominee stand so we can all begin to know who each other is, and because you're going to be spending a lot of time together.
Photo op, maybe. A photo op. That'd be cool.
Yes, photo op is good. Okay, I'll introduce my my nominee is Mark Roseford, black sweater and red shirt. And
to his left is Ted. To his white left is is Ted Siegler.
And then Crosby Swartz has the black jacket on. Crosby is the chair of the Forest Committee. I think he'll bring a very good perspective to the committee.
And Allison, if you didn't already guess from process of elimination, is the beautiful young lady in the front.
Yeah, so we have legal support, we have financial support, we have a citizen. I think it's a great committee.
Oh, yes.
Groves like trees.
Okay, very good. Well, I and certainly on behalf of the board want to first of all thank you and share our appreciation because you are about to embark on what we find to be a very important time to take a look at a committee that was quite active about 6 years ago at this time and to bring it now into 2016. And what can we do now with some of the tasks that you're going to have before you and what you will recommend?
Madam President,
Director Sanders.
It struck me that it might be a good idea to discuss the scope of the committee's jurisdiction.
Mm-hmm. I think so.
Exactly what we expect them to do so that they understand what the mission is.
Yeah, it's too late for him now, but I agree.
Yeah, now that they've been appointed.
Yes, now we can talk about what...
Right.
Okay. Why don't you start with what you see? You and I, of course, are... Director Sanders and I are the ad hoc for the EIR, and this is a very important task and component that is directly associated with part of that work. And so why don't you start with your expectations?
Well, I think the staff report certainly hits on one issue, which is financing. This is not an inexpensive undertaking for the district, and we're going to have to be very creative in terms of how this program is financed. So that's issue number one. Issue number two, I think, is to seek ways to drive down the cost. The original build-out reduction program, the scope was very expensive, and it contains some assumptions that I think are no longer valid. Some of those assumptions made it more expensive than it really needs to be. For example, we already have special project areas 1 and 2, where building is very severely restricted. The original build-out reduction program did not take special project areas 1 and 2 into account. So that needs to be done. And special project areas 1 and 2 are really taken care of by the Land Conservancy of San Luis Obispo County. We've rekindled that relationship, so that program will start up again, and that will take care of two very large areas of Lodge Hill. Another issue has to do with the county's zoning code, and I'm really pleased to see that a county representative will be participating with the committee. It gets to the issue of what is a building site. There are many lots that were targeted for acquisition by the original build-out reduction program that really aren't valid building sites in terms of the county's zoning code. So that has to be looked at very carefully. The county zoning code overlay, I think, will result in some significant cost savings for us. So I think if we can concentrate on those three issues, we'll get the kind of work product we need for the environmental impact report going forward.
Thank you. And I would just say on that, too, I agree that what we want to do is keep the scope of your work very clear and succinct. And those are the things that we know we would really want your help with the funding, with the certainly looking at buildable sites. And so that's where we're going with this, to have you have all the time you need, not to feel rushed. But we won't get just all over the map where we kind of lose sight of our focus either. Thank you for that.
May I add one other issue, and that has to do with maintenance. You know, there is a long-term maintenance commitment that comes with this program, and I think it would be very helpful if the committee looks into the maintenance issue, both in terms of cost and the level of maintenance that is necessary. We have a very fragile forest here. There are certain maintenance activities which can be undertaken that reduce the fuel load for fire safety purposes, but still maintain the integrity of the forest. So I think that would be another item that the committee should look at.
Back with financing and how to sustain what we do. Director Barron?
Yes. Thank you. I think timing should be discussed, too. I think, you know, is this a two-month project that we want to approve within 2 months? I think that would be the outside. And how many meetings do you think it would take? You know, that kind of thing. I think we should at least come up with, an idea. Let me suggest no longer than 2 months, and or should we just get feedback from the committee and see what they feel it? But I, as far as the EIR is concerned, does this activity have to happen prior to the EIR being approved, or can it be just completed as part of the review?
It's part of the whole process. Okay.
The draft EIR. We don't have a firm schedule yet for the release of the draft EIR for public review. I think President Robinette would agree that probably an administrative draft, which is kind of an in-house precursor to the draft that gets circulated for public review, will be ready maybe in late July, early August. So we're looking at April to May to June, June to July, about 90 days before the administrative draft is ready for internal review. So I would say 60 to 90 days would be a good target date for getting this done.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any other comments or questions? Director Rice?
Couple of things. One is, I want to make sure that we have a clear end result that we're going to get back from this committee, which I'm assuming is essentially advisory in nature. They're not going to take action on their own except to come up with some recommendations for us. I don't know what our planned staffing is other than having somebody from the county there, but I seem to recall that with the Build-Out Reduction Program committee that was together before, one of the recommendations they made was to add a fee to the water bill, which turned out to not be something that we could legally do. So it would probably be a good idea to make sure that we have, our district council or somebody review whatever recommendation comes forward, so that we, before it even comes to us, so that we make sure that it's something we could actually do. I also think that it's important, especially if what their recommendation ends up being is some sort of, let's say, parcel tax that would have to go on the ballot, that we need to make sure we let people know as much as possible that this committee is having these discussions, so that we can make sure that the community doesn't get 90 days from now, the community doesn't get surprised by these are kind of the discussions. Because we are talking about financing, and it's not about we got to go find some money in somebody else's pocket. We got to figure out where we're going to get it from, and it might be from our pockets, and that's never a good thing to not include people in the conversation when possible. I'm hoping they start out by evaluating the current numbers of the build-out reduction and looking at what it currently says, because I think that Director Sanders is right. There's some things that are out of date and no longer actually, that's not the facts on the ground anymore because of all the changes that have been made by this board and by the county related to land use. So I would actually like to hear what is the remaining buildable lot inventory and that kind of thing, and that'll give them a sense of, I think the entire program gives them a foothold in to make understanding what it's supposed to do, and looking at whether the goal of the BRP as it was is what we should be striving for. Because even if it's in the documentation, if it's a mitigation for something that ends up being not effective for the mitigation it's supposed to be mitigating. How many more times can I say that word in that sentence? But I think I'm seeing nodding heads, so I'll stop there.
Well, I think you are absolutely, from my perspective, and I know we have Director Sanders and I have been in discussion with this, and I would say that you are just totally in sync with those essential components that we're looking at. And I seem to hear that from everyone at this point. Vice President Thompson?
2 points. Firstly, I think... It's very important that if we create something, it's necessary to provide it with adequate staff, because we can't expect these individuals to do their own staff work on this. And so I would hope that that we would provide them with the staff. I don't know whether it's Mr. Gresham's or Monique who's smiling, but certainly somebody that's familiar with the last effort and make sure that they get the resources that they need. And then second point for Mr. Carmel, I presume that the Brown Act, is it appropriate for members of this board to also at least sit in and hear what the committee is discussing? Is that a problem with respect to the Brown Act?
The Brown Act does allow it, as long as you don't participate or talk. You sit passively in the audience.
I wanted to go back to something that that you said, Vice President Thompson, and I have been thinking about this for a while too. On the last build-out reduction committee that I served on, this is a real key point, and that is the ad hoc committee, as I recall at that time, which I think you were on that one too, Greg, would sit in from time to time, but not all the time. We're not there all the time. But when it comes to staff, I think, of course, we know the staff very much has their own full workload all the time. So I don't know if it's possible that we could consider any funding that might possibly be set aside to maybe hire someone at least that's taking, that's there to assist with minutes or getting things printed up as you're writing rough drafts and doing that kind of thing. I don't know what you think about that, but it would be kind of nice to have some kind of, not a consultant to tell people what to do, but almost more a clerical person that can get things pulled together and keep minutes while they're there, and So I don't know. What do you think about that?
Madam President, this is a big undertaking, and we're compressing the time here, which makes it an even bigger task. Two observations. First of all, Michael Baker International is the consultant preparing the environmental impact report. Glenn LaJoy is a principal at Michael Baker International. He was formerly with RBF, and Glenn LaJoy was very closely involved in the first build-out reduction program. There is almost a literal mountain of information, probably more than the committee needs, but the entire town has been GIS mapped. Every lot has been platted. In terms of lots that are not developed, those are all identified. You're talking about reams and reams of information. So I think it would be very helpful if the district appropriates some amount of money to have Glenn LaJoy pull that information together in a succinct format so that the committee has the benefit of all the work that was done previously, number one. And number two, I agree completely. There's got to be some clerical assistance that is afforded this committee.
It does seem to make really, it makes good sense. We want you to be successful. And some of the things that Director Sanders is talking about, those are key facts, of course, and key information. Really looking at the lots. I know having the county representative will be very helpful because we want to make sure everyone understands what really constitutes a buildable site at this time, at this place and time for Cambria. But I think if we want to have maybe Mr. LaJoy come for that kind of technical reference and technical assistance for getting a real clear handle on here's what we've accomplished lot-wise, here's what our remaining buildable sites, so that you really have a good picture, literally, of what we're trying to address.
Perhaps we can have the general manager bring an item back to us on the next agenda to solidify this. And
Director Rice?
I agree it's nice to have some clerical support to do minutes and things like that, especially considering it's a Brown Act committee. It would be nice if it were recorded so that people that can't actually attend the meetings but want to hear what the discussions were, like sometimes directors. It might be a good idea. We don't necessarily need to hire AGP, but somebody can record it on their phone or something so that it's clear. Not we don't just have minutes, but we have discussion. I like the idea of putting together a succinct report. I don't know how much that would cost to do. I do think he should be available to the committee. I also have full faith that the committee probably has skills and understanding of things that we don't, even though we know them, that we don't know they have, and that they are well qualified. That's why we appointed them. And maybe we should allow them to come to us and say, we need this to be able to do this, because maybe there's somebody already on the committee that'll take the minutes, and then we don't have to use staff time to do that. But we do need somebody to do this other thing for us, whether it's help organize community meeting or do something else. I mean, I think that maybe the committee should make it clear we want to offer them the resources they need to be a successful committee and get to the end result that they of making a recommendation. I also think that they probably will be able to work out what resources they maybe don't need. I don't think we should necessarily direct exactly what we're going to give them, but just so we want to support them. That's my feeling on it. I think there's two questions I would like to have answered at the end of the process that this committee is going to do, and one is, will the current BRP program meet the mitigation goals and the goal, the overall policy goals of the CCSD? And of course, the corollaries, if not, do you have recommendations? And that's probably beyond the scope of the initial committee, but at least it would lead to that discussion. And then the second one would be how would we fund, or you know, what are the funding possibilities, and what are your, you know, in priority, what makes most sense based on having the discussions. It sounds like we've got a wide range of experiences on the committee, so I feel pretty sure that if they need the resources, they can come and ask for them, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Director Behringer?
I'm reluctant to pay a consultant now that we have a citizens committee, but Mr. Sanders is perfectly right. There is an effort that Michael Baker International really needs a little bit of extra funding to pull that money aside, and the general manager can make a recommendation to us at our next board meeting. Doesn't mean it's going to slow anything down. And as far as administrative support, I'd like to not necessarily have a Monique level person, but I think Monique has an assistant that might be able to take minutes and so on and so forth. I think the staff person doesn't have to be one that was fully involved in the EIR, in the last build-out reduction plan. So I think the administrative assistance could come from staff at a make copies, you know, take minutes, put packets together, do the agendas, things like that. So I think it's two levels of support. But I think our committee is going to be pretty self-sufficient other than that administrative support.
Yeah, I would agree that we do need from Baker International to have a probably one-time, not a consultant, but a one-time, fairly technical presentation for the committee. And I think that would be very helpful and valuable. And the clerical, I think, again, we do need to find some way to do that. I can recall last time, I believe it was Connie Davidson, a wonderful person that was with us at that time. And she was there all the time. And she was really quite, you know, quite helpful in the whole process. And she was a consultant in that way. She wrote grants, she did things like that. But we do need to find that clerical support, I agree. How that actually happens. So those are really the two things we're looking at. A technical presentation, I would think, early on in the work, and then the ongoing clerical support, I think, is pretty much what we're saying. And General Manager Gruber's not here, so I can't see his expressions right now. So what are we recommending here? Are we making a recommendation? We're not making a motion, but a recommendation. You want to go ahead and
well, it sounds like we have a consensus,
mm-hmm,
to me.
I think so. Yeah, we're going to have to look for a little bit additional help, because we can't just expect. Where is it going to come from? It has to come from somewhere. So, okay. Director Rice?
When I was appointed as an alternate to the Water Emergency Alternative Citizens Committee, which had five regular members and five alternates, and as the alternate, I acted as the secretary and took the minutes for those. And that's kind of what I'm saying, is that we may find that there's somebody within the committee that will take on, mm-hmm, that task in order to trade up for a different kind of support. So I just don't want to hamstring them on the kind of support that we provide, but that we're clear with staff that we want them to support what they need. I would also say, unless there's an objection to the two questions that I was saying I'd like to hear answered, or in addition to those, I would move that we ask this committee to evaluate the current program and see whether it meets the goals of the district, and to provide us with recommendations on how to fund such a program.
I concur with those objectives, but I'm not going to second the motion. But.
Okay. Is there any other question that any other board member wants to have addressed by this committee? It seems like that gives them a very focused goal to have those specific.
Would you restate what your mm-hmm. suggested motion is?
Will the current program meet, like, as it's currently in the program EIR or wherever the most current version is? Does it meet the mitigation goals and policies for the district? And how do we fund such a program? Recommendations on how do we fund such a program?
My sense of it is that if the original BRP did meet the needs we have today, we would probably not need to have a committee. That's what I'm kind of wondering about.
Wait, say that again.
Yeah, to go back and look. I thought you mentioned go back and look at the original build-out reduction program and see if that meets what we're trying to do here. Is that what you said?
Right. There's some updates that need to be made based on all the numbers. That's what Director Sanders was saying, that we need to look at the BRP and whether it's going to meet the goals that we need it to meet for the EIR. Am I wrong or am I misunderstanding?
Well,
maybe you can help clarify.
Yeah, I made some suggestions about the scope of the work the committee is expected to undertake. So I'm a little confused about the direction you're going. I mean, certainly, it's ultimately it's up to the board to determine whether or not the work product that they produce meets the goals of the district. But the goals of the district are very much intertwined with the North Coast Area Plan, the California mm-hmm. Environmental Quality Act, the County of San Luis Obispo, the Coastal Commission, et cetera. So I guess to cut to the chase, the purpose here is to satisfy the growth-inducing mitigation requirements of the California Environmental Quality Act. You know, that's what we have to do in order to have a valid EIR. And that's
so then that's the appropriate question to be answered then, is
yeah.
it, does this program do that? And it seems to me that in order for them to recommend funding, they kind of need to know how much funding we need to have, or at least some kind of ballpark.
Well,
like if we have 5,000 lots to retire, that's a way different prospect for funding than if we have 300 lots to retire. So that's kind of why I was saying to go and look at what progress has been made and whether or not it does meet those growth-inducing potential yeah. for the project. It seems to me that, so I think that we're on the same page. Maybe I'm just saying it in a different way.
I think we're on the same track, and I think we're just saying it different ways. We do, one key piece we have to have is we do need for the committee to know how many buildable sites are there now? Mm-hmm. Because I thought of that too. I thought, you know, how many did we have? How many have we actually gotten retired? And that, we've made progress, but to me the more focused point for me at this time is what's out there now. And we need to know that, because then that has an awful lot to do with hopefully their creative thinking on how we might then retire some of those, and money or funding will be a big issue.
And if I may, President Robinette, I also heard Director Sanders say something about, or maybe it was Director Thompson, I'm sorry, I don't I was looking that direction.
They look
about how are we going to maintain any open space that we, and it seems to me that is a critical issue to discuss. I'm not sure if it's within what this committee needs to do in terms of the EIR. I actually think it's a more for the community itself, not for the legal CEQA and for all of that, but for the community itself, I think is a much bigger issue that we need to be tackling. But I don't know that that should be something that's within this committee's purview.
I don't see it as our two major focuses right now mm-hmm. are funding for what? For how many are sitting out there buildable sites?
To acquire,
to retire. But then right on the heels of that, I agree with you. So then what do we do with them? How do we maintain them? And that kind of goes along with this Land Conservancy of San Luis Obispo County that we're now actively working with again. Those lots, when we accept those lots as our responsibility, mm-hmm. it's the, again, back to the cost of how do we maintain those. Most of those are just to keep the weeds down.
It seems to me, though, the committee can sort through that, whether or not they want to try and include something like maintenance in a partial tax, if that's what they come up with recommending. Does that sound?
Well, yeah, there's a set of options that the district has that are separate and apart and less restrictive than what the Land Conservancy of San Luis Obispo County does.
Right.
For example, the district doesn't necessarily have to, in perpetuity, own all of the lots that are retired. There's no reason why a covenant can't be incorporated into a deed and a vacant lot sold to an adjoining property that is, or an adjoining property owner, where that property is already developed. So the property owner can maintain the lot. The lot has a restrictive covenant on it, which requires that it cannot be developed, and the district is thereby relieved of the burden of maintaining that lot. Land Conservancy of San Luis Obispo County has real heartburn over that kind of a process, but we're not encumbered by the rules that they have to play by. So none of that was really contemplated when the original build-out reduction program was developed, and incorporated into the cost of the original build-out reduction program is a very huge increment of maintenance cost. I think it would be wise to let the committee look at all of those issues when they're deliberating, and if they deem it important to report back on maintenance issues, then I would give them the freedom to do that.
Madam President, I think the committee has enough, since they're here, enough guidance as to what to do. They certainly can rely on the ad hoc committee to provide further guidance, and to encumber them with a motion or an objective that they already know would it's not even 11 o'clock yet.
I would agree. I know we may finish an item in less than an hour, and I think that you're right. There's plenty for our committee now to be thinking about. And the only other things I would wonder about, do we want, in kind of moving to closure here, do we want to, how do we proceed with our first date and time, and so that they can actually begin to sit down together? I think...
I would leave that to them.
Just leave it to them?
Finally.
And maybe a chair for the group?
I think they should pick their own chair.
Should pick their own, yeah. So at that first meeting, but maybe today, since you're all here, maybe after we adjourn, you want to talk about what works for you, and then we can. But we'll need to know.
I hear our counsel.
No, as soon as they're impaneled, they're subject to the Brown Act, so we couldn't do it that way. What we can do is staff will coordinate a good meeting time with them. We'll contact them.
Perfect. Perfect.
That'll make it easier for him.
I was just seeing if he would catch it. And he did. Yes, I think that's what will happen. The staff will coordinate with you, and then you'll know. Director Rice?
I know this would be at your discretion since we've already had the public comment time, but I didn't know if any of the impaneled members, since the board is all here, if any of them have questions based on the discussion that we just had, since they're going to be... They have us at their beck and call at the moment. If any of them had any questions, they could up to the lectern.
Crosby, why don't you come up where the microphone is, please?
Do I have to put? Okay. No, it's probably premature to talk about this, but you all recognize the role that the Land Conservancy San Luis Obispo may play in this process. How should we coordinate with them? Or so they can they attend the Citizens Committee meetings, or is that something that the committee still has to decide? And are they certainly, to the extent that we're expanding their role in this, they certainly need to be involved with that process. So just something to think about.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Madam Chair, suggestion. I think it would be a really good idea to invite the Land Conservancy to at least attend the meetings for two reasons. Number one, they have a lot of expertise. And number two, they have money and access to
They have access. They have access to money, and so I think that's certainly a good idea to invite them. They're certainly not an official member, but I would say that they would be very interested in what we're doing. And Mr. Carmel?
Well, staff will coordinate that as well.
Yes, okay.
And one other note, if the committee members could give Monique their contact information before they leave, that would be very helpful.
Good. Yes, before we leave today, she'll need that. Any other items here then, or points on this only item? I think we've covered a lot today. I think we have a great start. And so if there's no further business then, this meeting is adjourned. Thank you all.